10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I want you to forget everything about your cancer. I want you to forget everything about what your doctors have told you. I want you to forget everything about your treatments. And I want you to start with a blank slate. This is Dr. Tom Iannelli, and this is the Croc Podcast. Howdy, Croc Nation. This is your friend, Dr. Tom Iannelli, sitting here, as always, to my left, Angel Santana, my producer, co-host, and dear friend. How are you, Angel?
Been a long week, but I'm excited for tonight.
Angel, I'm very excited about today's podcast for many, many reasons. We have a special guest. We have my friend Allison, who's going to be talking to us about survivorship forms and planning. We also have another surprise today. You know that the Croc Nation is starting to get a little tired of the defining survivorship module that we've been on since, what, 1993, right? Seems that way. So today, as we get close to the end of this module, we're going to take a field trip. You and I, I'm going to take you out for ice cream.
Oh, nice.
Well, you're on a diet.
I am.
So maybe it won't be ice cream, but let's check. It's an analogy. You know, I start every podcast with a story, right?
I can daydream. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, what flavor would you be?
Butter pecan.
Not even a question, right?
No way.
There you go. You know what? I always trust the man who orders butter pecan. That was a good rhyme, right?
Yeah.
It's not so bad. So say we're in the country. We're in the country and we want to go out for ice cream. Okay. So how do we get to the ice cream stand? Now, nowadays, you would basically go in your car. You would go to your Apple Play or you go to your car GPS and you would say, you know, Alexa or Siri, take me for ice cream. And they would basically put a GPS sort of route. You make a left onto Burlingham Road or right onto 302. And all of a sudden you're at Twin Cones, you're with Teak and V, and you're having a great big triple. Now we are, this is a fantasy. So it's going to be a triple dip waffle cone of butter pecan for you. Now, you know, Angel, I'm an old man and you're a young man. And I tell you guys this every time. So remember, you guys have the GPS. You have these car things. You have MapQuest. Do you remember the days when there was no such thing?
I do, actually.
So this would be the scenario it would be to go get ice cream back in my day, back in the days where we walked to school with no shoes, 10 miles in the snow, both ways uphill. So basically what we would do is we would say, okay, you're going to go down the county road. You're going to make sure that the black dirt and onion farms are on your left. You're going to make a right at the red barn. You're going to go to the dead skunk. You're going to go north by northwest by 3 miles. You're going to make a left over at the silo, and then there's your ice cream stand, right?
I thought you were going to say railroad tracks.
No. Oh, I forgot the railroad tracks. I have it here in my notes, but I forgot to say the railroad tracks. Okay. But my point is, okay, say you do that. Are you going to get lost?
If it was me, yes.
Anybody would get lost. Yeah. Allison, anybody would get lost with those directions. So let me ask you a question. I'm going to make this analogy a little harder. What if you're blind, you have one leg, one arm, and you can't hear? Are you going to find that ice cream stand?
I don't think so.
Exactly. So that is kind of what a cancer survivor had to deal with. No direction, having no roadmap once they've been diagnosed with cancer. And even more importantly, once their cancer treatments were over, there was really no access for them to allow sort of a justified plan, a truly individualized, unique plan for their specific cancer. And that's why I use this analogy, because the analogy is that up until recently, cancer survivorship plans were really non-existent. And cancer survivorship treatment summaries were pretty much non-existent. And what I wanted to do was make this episode all about this roadmap. in a time where now this is becoming more ubiquitous and more, I guess, common with our cancer survivors. So welcome, Croc Nation, to this continuing module on defining survivorship. We started with Dr. Mullen's story, his seasons of survival. We then got lost in transition, talked about the Academy of Medicine's, I would say we Christianized it last time and said the Ten Commandments. I've been using as a guide my friend, Dr. Charles Shapiro, who will be a guest of ours in the next couple of weeks from Mount Sinai, about his Sentinel review article back in the New England Journal. He'll be discussing that. And he calls this the core curriculum. And then last week, we kind of derailed a little bit. We talked a little bit about cancer survivorship definitions, looking at it from a different point of view. We had Dr. Katie Deming, Dr. Len Berry down from across the country talking to us about some survivors who didn't really want to be termed survivors. And now that brings us today when we're going to talk now about cancer survivorship planning. So I could not be any more privileged and pleased to have with us Allison Whalen. Allison, welcome to the Croc Podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So, Allison, this is the part of the podcast where I embarrass the guest. So Allison is a graduate of New York University, my father's alma mater. You and I together, Angel, couldn't get into NYU if you took all of our grades, added them together, took our SATs, and then squared them. We couldn't get into NYU. Beyond school, Allison distinguished herself at Memorial Sloan Kettering as a nurse practitioner, and she has a great deal of experience in adult bone marrow transplantation and basically taking care of the oncology patient. And I couldn't tell you, I don't know what they did, Allison, to get you back home to Orange County, but Crystal Run Healthcare is extremely lucky. As a matter of fact, if I didn't love those oncologists so much, I would have basically tried to steal you away, double your salary and give you 18 weeks of paid vacation, but probably would be bad for my career and for my practice, but I can't be any more pleased. I have in my notes, I want to say, Allison, I have to laugh because I put down like my thoughts and I said, I have Allison coming over today. What can I say about Allison besides all her great accomplishments, you know, and her academic and educational background? Basically, what I wrote here is Allison is money in the bank. When something has to get done, if a patient's needs need to be met, if there's an emergency, five alarm fire, we have all of the, you know, all of the volunteer fire trucks coming out of Bullville, coming out of Crawford, coming out of Pine Bush, coming out of, you know, all of our Bloomingburg, basically Allison would be able to direct that fire and put it out in about 3 seconds. And she does it every day. That's kind of what she does for a living. And that's what I think about Allison. I couldn't have more respect for you. But let's start by me again, setting the table. So Allison, you can't see Angel, but he's doing this to me. He's saying, okay, you've talked enough. Let her do the heavy lifting. You know, you talk too much. I know I get it, but I do want to set the table a little bit about the thought behind the cancer survivorship care plan and the treatment plan. So basically, again, thank you, Dr. Charles Shapiro, for your amazing review article. I can't wait to talk to you about it. Published New England Journal 2018. We're going to talk about that. When a person gets diagnosed with cancer, that's a scary proposition for all the reasons that we've already talked about in our previous podcasts. And if you're living the cancer life, I don't need to get more specific than that. But before these days, when a person was done with their cancer treatments, they really would go back to their primary care. They would go to the dentist. They would go anywhere. They would have absolutely no idea, you know, what kind of chemotherapy they received, what kind of radiation therapy they received. And without this knowledge, they're not able to disseminate this information to the people that need this information to treat them. In addition, once they left, they had no idea about the implications, both of their diagnosis as well as their treatment. So all of the long-term latent side effects that me as a radiation oncologist, Allison as a medical oncology advanced practitioner see every day in our follow-ups, all of these potential things that she's going to talk about. It could be something as simple as a woman with breast cancer having numb fingers and numb toes from their chemotherapy. It could be something more problematic and catastrophic, like Dr. Mullen when he had the osteoradionecrosis of his sternum. If you remember that story, that was a real horror show. So in the old days, patients weren't really told about these side effects, weren't told what life would be like. So Allison is going to talk to us about that. I happen to specialize or have a specific interest in thyroid cancer, and I'm just looking at my thyroid cancer survivorship plan. Very anemic, you know, really not much to for me to be proud of, to be honest with you, but it is a work in progress, and I'm sure Allison will address that as well. But basically, our goal is for our cancer patients, the dissemination and memorialization, the way I wrote it in my notes, of very intricate and specific treatment information that patients can carry with them, as I said, to their primary care physician, to their dentist, to their plastic surgeon. Angel, no disrespect, but you and I can probably use a good plastic surgeon. So for our patients that are interested in that type of thing, they would have no idea what to tell them if it wasn't for this stuff. We talked about side effects, disease-specific side effects, long-term, latent side effects, surveillance. What do we do? How do we surveil these patients after their treatment? Health promotion, weight, obesity, physical activity, diet, smoking, alcohol use, and also the psychological well-being of our patients have to be addressed in these care plans. Special populations, which Alice and I don't deal with in children, but we certainly deal with elderly patients, geriatric patients, elderly patients with cancer. And again, my wife screamed at me because I used the term last time, caretaker. That's wrong because we're not like a Japanese gardener, right? It's a caregiver. There's also survivorship information that our caregivers need to be assessed about in regard to their life living with a cancer survivor. So without further ado, after my 17-hour, introduction, I am going to take it. I'm going to send it over to Allison to talk to us about the survivorship plans, about her challenges in her practice, about her personal experience with this. And I'm going to let her do the rest of the heavy lifting. That makes Angel very happy.
Well, thank you for the nice introduction. I appreciate it, but also equally as lucky to work with you and your team in radiation oncology. But I have to say, when I was first asked to do this, I thought to myself, how kind of everything you touched on already, what is survivorship? What can I relay? And really, I think when we go to schedule these visits for our patients, that's what they're asking. Like, what do you mean survivorship? What is that? So I couldn't be more pleased to speak on it a little bit, because I think we're always trying to answer that question. What is survivorship, and what does it mean for each of the patients? And your wife brings up a good point, because not only when I was prepping a little bit, I realized it's not only the patient, right? There's also a caregiver, or what we call a co-survivor, a person who's cared for a loved one with cancer. So not only somebody who has been through a cancer diagnosis, but their loved ones as well. So we can't, that's one thing I always think about too, in terms of when we're scheduling this for a patient. And then I think in the podcast too, that you mentioned prior to this one, it's defined differently for each patient. And that's what I always try to mention to the patients when we're getting set up, is that, what is survivorship is different for each patient. What is the common theme or a common belief seems to be life is different. Life is different after a cancer diagnosis. And so my job is to make these care plans for patients, so they have, as you said, Dr. Nally, a little outline, like, where do we go from here? So we see the patients, and my job is to see them at start of diagnosis. And that's really where our survivorship journey starts. We give them a summary, and ASCO, and I have a little handout that I have in front of me, ASCO handout regarding their care plan. So we start with a treatment summary. And I always say, this is a fluid document. This can evolve and this can change. And what goes into this care plan is a lot of information, simple demographics, but also importantly, their healthcare providers, because it's important to maintain that relationship with their oncologist, that it's not just, treatment's done, see you later. surveillance is outlined per each diagnosis. So when we spoke earlier, I kind of printed out and went over a breast and a colorectal. So I'm going to just have to.
Oh, take your time. Allison is actually a babysitter also, taking care of her little baby.
One second.
Yeah, I think you should start charging rent to your newborn.
Should I charge you?
Yeah, I think you should bring him up. Yeah, make him part of the program. Yeah.
Okay, and then you want, yes. Okay, come here, my little one.
Never easy. I got a 2-year-old at home, and she has a mind of her own, and
yeah. Wait till your son learns the word no.
Oh,
I'm there.
My 30-year-old kids still use that word quite often.
Do you want to say hi? Oh.
Hey, Bruiser. What's going on? Hey.
They want it to work. Okay, and I'll be right back.
Croc Nation, while Allison attends to the needs of her beautiful new bouncing baby boy, we are going to take a quick break and we're going to have Angel Santana tell you a little bit about more how to follow us on social media.
Hey Croc Nation, while we take a short break, we want to remind each and every one of you that we are available every Sunday at 9 a.m. and you can visit our website, crocvip.com. We have a Facebook account. Join it, CrocVIP. And don't forget our Twitter account, @CrocVIP. Don't forget, Croc Nation, we are also now available on Apple, Spotify, and soon to come, iHeartRadio. We look forward to hearing you and talking with you. Don't forget to reach out to us on social media accounts. Oh, it looks like Allison's back. And now to Dr. Tommy Nelly and the Croc Podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Allison, I told you shouldn't have fed your baby boy shrimp with garlic sauce. Probably a bad idea.
You're probably right. Wrong choice.
So we were actually up to the point where we're talking about breast and colorectal survivorship plan specifically. Maybe walk us through the breast.
So the breast specifically, so each one really starts with that general information, the demographics, and we really want to include all of the healthcare providers. So you'll see what we have listed is primary care provider, who was your surgeon, radiation oncologist, medical oncologist, and other providers. And that other providers is really important because patients are living longer and we know there's complications that can arise, late-term side effects of their treatment. We need involvement of their cardiologist, of their endocrinologist. So those other providers are really important to be listed. And we do try to include names, institution, and even contact information if possible. And then we jump to the treatment summary. So prior to even getting to this point, we do provide patients when they initially get started with a summary of what their treatment's going to look like. And we update it each time that may change. So we go here and we have their cancer type, the histology, which breast, for example, on this breast cancer care plan, what stage, whether or not they've had surgery, and any lymph node removal. And I want to point that one out because as we were talking, and Dr. Nelly, you mentioned, what are breast cancer survivors, what may they need? They may need lymphedema treatment or therapy, and even not breast cancer, perhaps other diagnoses. So things like that are really important. Patients need to know this information. Did they have lymph node removed? So also what radiation, what body area was treated? That's important too, going back to any side effects that may come up. So this is really important information for the patient. And then the systemic treatment is listed. So what chemotherapy, hormonal therapy they received, and whether or not this was done before or after surgery. And the ASCO treatment plans are great and they can be updated, but exactly which agent is used is listed. What I also like to include is doses, whether or not doses were adjusted, and were there any stops in the treatment. And then we have the end dates here, and we can really expand this. So we really can add to this to make it as thorough as possible. And then ongoing treatment, which is really important too. If somebody's having ongoing treatment, and then of course we have here, so whether that be, you know, an AI, an anastrozole, and that comes with side effects itself and what needs to be monitored. So that's listed here in our possible side effects. And then really importantly, which maybe the box isn't big enough, persistent symptoms or side effects at completion of treatment. And we talked a little about, and I'm going to flip to my notes too.
Yeah, please.
Yes. What side effects do people see at the end of treatment? Specifically, you know, with breast, we can see that numbness and tingling or neuropathy. We can see menopausal symptoms and psychosocial concerns, even depression. And these don't always happen right away. They can come up afterwards. So it's important to, I let patients know, you know, you may not have anything now, but make sure you're an open book. Let us know how you're feeling. And then really importantly too, with the breast cancer survivorship plan is the familial cancer risk assessment. And just making sure patients know, if this changes, let us know. Do you have a first or second degree relative who was diagnosed? Maybe not at this time, but if that should change, the healthcare team should know about it. And then have they received their genetic counseling and genetic testing? So it's a lot of information only, and we're not even done going over it yet. But just done this.
This is really, really super important. Okay. A couple of things just to clarify for some people that may not know all the acronyms or whatever. ASCO is the American Society of Clinical Oncology, and we should put that site on our website for patients as a resource. The national, the NCCN, the National Cancer, NCCN stands for
National
Clinical, Clinical Practice Guidelines. We're going to actually have a podcast just on that. Oh, there you go. Exactly. Perfect. Yep. The other thing that Allison had mentioned, I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page. You don't have to know the specifics as far as anastrozole and those types of things, because it's going to be specific to your site of cancer. And women, of course, with breast cancer would have heard of that drug. But again, the importance is having it on a piece of paper that's portable, mm-hmm. And that type of thing. Allison, I have a question for you. Do you see a day when there's going to be sort of an integration of the modality? So the surgical oncologist will have an ability to edit this online, and the radiation oncologist could put in their two cents into this, like have a sort of like a master document that's electronic that could be then edited. As you mentioned, it's a fluid dynamic situation or document. Do you see that in the future?
I think so. I think, especially with the electronic health records, and I think it only should go that way in order to make sure that treatment is more comprehensive for patients, and so that literally everybody's on the same page.
And
the patient, most importantly.
One of the advantages on a big institution like Crystal Run Healthcare, which is a big player in the Hudson Valley and in Garnet Medical Center, which is where I am, is having a multidisciplinary group of people where you have an in-house medical record, an electronic mm-hmm. medical record, where the primary care physician can have access to the oncologist things, and the oncologist can have access to the primary care. And if one of the patients has a colonoscopy, those reports would be then sort of all sort of linked together. And I think we both are very, very privileged, to have that. However, despite being a big in-house system, comment on some of the shortcomings that we're still kind of fighting against. You're very lucky to have a strong, strong oncology crew. I actually really like, but more importantly, respect all of your oncologists. You have a great, great group of people. But you guys still have challenges. I mean, we're not where we need to be yet. What can you tell our listeners or our survivors about that?
I think what a big challenge is, coming from, and I'll say a big institution, a tertiary center, and then coming to more community is sometimes lack of resources. It's a little, and not that they're not out there, but it's a little harder to find them. And I want to go back quickly, because one person who I failed to mention on this, the care plan, what usually we write is the navigator.
Yes.
And that's a really important person. And I failed to mention that. So that person, the navigators who work with our patients, and you could probably speak to that role a little bit better than I do.
Well, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. We're going to have a podcast over the next couple of weeks actually with the navigator's role. So, again, expanding this sort of, we're trying to build a really strong foundation, and the navigators, you work with our navigators for sure. Mm-hmm. Do you mm-hmm. also have in-house navigators as well?
We don't. We have, not in oncology, in Crystal Run, I think as a bigger, institution, we have a care team. So if they, if your primary care is within Crystal Run, we do have a little bit of that, like a care management team, but not, I don't, not in the sense, not in our oncology department, in the sense that, you know, we work just so closely with the navigators at Garnet Health. Yeah, so
totally understand. So what Allison, our friends was mentioning was coming from Memorial, even Memorial actually, and kudos to them. We call it the Mecca here, right? Over we hillbillies. Again, my wife's going to clobber me for saying that. But, you know, they did something very unusual for Memorial. They not that Memorial is not innovative. They certainly are. But they actually went out on a limb and they began probably one of the first supplementary medicine departments, which is extraordinarily strong. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we don't have in-house. I don't think you do either. Which would be wonderful to have. The other thing I was going to say was, I know Crystal Run, and I think that Michelle Corey or Debbie Spencer used to run this. You used to also have like an exercise group for patients, something where, again, mm-hmm. some of the more peripheral needs of the patients would be met. And these are the things that I think we need to do a better job in. Mm-hmm. I know in our CROC, advocacy group and our patient support groups, that was always something that was really important for us to develop, was exercise and physicality and getting in shape and being healthy lifestyles. You do have in-house nutrition, mm-hmm. which we do as well, which is crucial for our cancer patients. Mm-hmm. You have an outstanding pain department, Tom Booker, and my friend Dr. Foskowitz and that group. We said we don't know what to do with these poor patients that are in chronic pain. I guess medical marijuana would be a great podcast to talk about it sometime in the future. We should get Foskowitz and Booker one on the podcast, Angel. But write that down, Noma.
I also, acupuncture is one that came up a lot.
Do you have that? Do you guys have acupuncture?
I don't think we do, but it came up a lot, you know, and I shouldn't say it came up. It comes up a lot when I'm reviewing survivorship and long-term side effects and how to manage them. So, I mean, integrative medicine and using those other modalities is definitely worthwhile.
I'll tell you a funny story. Actually, our head neck navigator, Sarah Sargente, who's outstanding, and you know her. We read an article about a guy in Maryland who has this amazing skill with doing acupuncture for head neck patients that have profound, I'm going to use a fancy word at you, Angel, xerostomia, or dry mouth. And you don't know how important spit is until you don't have any spit. And we sent a few patients down for a few needles and they came home, you know, swimming in spit. So these are all things that we have to sort of put together, you know, to put the whole picture together. But I wanted to say, what are your thoughts, Allison, about the future with these survivorship plans as far as genetics? You know, we're looking now at you and your beautiful growing family. You know, my children are older. Angel's daughter is young. You know, I think in the future, I think these kids are going to want to know what their genetics are. And I mm-hmm. think their doctors are going to want to know what their genetic fingerprints are. What, not just saying, okay, my grandfather had diabetes, but being able to actually see the potential, you know, deletion or some sort of genetic translocation or whatever that might play into their healthcare. Do you see that as a future in our patients with cancer?
Definitely. And I think it's already maybe starting a little bit too. We, you know, even on these forms, we have, you know, a little checkbox, which is again, not enough, but did you have genetic testing? What were those results? And like you said, I think, especially in our younger patients, as we're, you know, it's definitely become more commonplace and working with a genetic counselor. So providing this information to our family, our children. And I think it goes back to what you're saying and making sure that each provider can add to these documents. And so they become more fluid. So that information can be provided because it's only going to expand now and in the future.
Allison, 5 years from now, where do you see the survivorship plan being? Where do you see it in 5 years?
Well, that's a good question.
I only ask good questions.
you know, I think there's going to be a lot more of them, a much, you know, larger document. I have the statistics written here, but I have to flip a little bit more. I think, yeah, today it was 15.5 million people who have had cancer. It was 60% who were diagnosed more than 5 years ago, 17% more than 20 years ago. And those numbers are just going to expand. So we have to keep up. The technology has to keep up. The genetics have to keep up. So I think the goal is to just make sure that every patient has one of these. I don't know that it's in probably every patient does. So it's important for us as providers to educate ourselves and our patients to make sure that in 5 years, each patient has this information and that, you know, we're using those multimodality regimens.
Wonderful. Allison, before I let you go, and again, thank you for sharing this time with us. You absolutely are a busy lady. You work full time. You have two beautiful kids. I know it was your husband's birthday the other day. You got a lot on your plate.
And I'm so sorry. Yes. I thought you were your number one.
No, this is great. Now, see, now when he listens to the podcast, he gets mentioned, right? So this is all really good. But do you have any questions for Angel and I before we sign off?
Maybe just one for you. In 5 years, where is this podcast going to take you? What are we going to be communicating about?
You know, I'll tell you a funny story. So Angel is, basically my podcast godfather. You know about Croc, right? We've been doing this for 20 something years. And for the last 8 years, we switched off a little bit. We've been working with Miriam and the Celebrate Life people that do the half marathon. And we've been working with them to help get grants out for patients for their healthcare needs that have no money and things like that. And I think about 2 years ago, we decided to kind of go back to a more clinical model. And I was very afraid of the technology. And since we were always face-to-face for 15 years, we would have monthly dinners and lectures. And, you know, it was real a flesh on flesh kind of really being able to make an impact, a one person at the time impact. You know, I finally 2 years ago thought, well, maybe we have to use the technology. And we started planning this 2 years ago. We sort of slowly, I guess, transitioned out of the Celebrate Life. And we just basically got started. This is podcast, like you are on podcast number 5. You can say you knew me like before I became world famous. Before I became, you know, like the, you know, the, whoever, the Rock Hudson or whatever of podcasting. But and anyway, Angel got me started. He has a beautiful podcast I recommend to everyone. This is actually a great segue to start our gratitude shout outs. Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin, can be heard very, very, very frequently. Every day, as a matter of fact, you can get a dose of Angel. Rod Freeman at Small Biz Up, in case anybody out there has a small business and want to get heard. We're going to try to help grow our podcast through there. And lastly, our beautiful, beautiful, very generous sponsors on the West Coast, Mikey Benzea, MichaelJohnBenzea.com, who's an actor, up-and-coming actor from the Hudson Valley, whose mother passed away of breast cancer, who's been a good friend to us, as well as CharlotteLarson.net, who's a producer out on the West Coast. Thank you for everything. I want to say that in answer to your question in closing, Allison, all Angel and I want to do, our only goal, where we see ourselves is as long as we could touch one survivor, as long as Angel can touch one person with his faith-based podcast, and I and you and all of our other guests can touch one survivor who might derive benefit from this information. That's where I see all I want to be. If anything else comes out of it, as far as touching more people, fantastic. But as long as we touch one, that's enough for me. And Angel, as always, I pass the last word off to you because number one, you're my producer. And number two, if I don't keep you happy, this will never get done. Do you also want to thank Allison for her time?
I think so. I think it's awesome to see that she is, you know, a new mom and, you know, as a new father, first time dad. And I commend you on in trying to balance the time and taking the time also out of your busy schedule as a mom, as a wife, as a doctor, you know, to take the time to reach a different type of audience, one that may not ever come to you, but will learn from you and be able to use that knowledge when they encounter someone that will unfortunately have this situation. So for that, I thank you.
Well, thank you both. Thank you for your time and for inviting me to be a part of it.
And we promise we'll have you back before your baby is 21. So Croc Nation, that will end yet another podcast on our growing and hopefully, I guess, more intricate survivorship goals. And this is Tommy and Ellie signing you off, wishing you well, wishing you blessings, wishing you hope, wishing you peace.